Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have stumbled into a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. That's right. We are the show that dives into the catalog, the discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, it's hot. And you can't tell me in Canada it doesn't get hot, because I don't believe that. And global warming is a thing. But this isn't the time for politics. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It is hot. It stopped raining. That's been the big thing around these parts. In Saskatchewan, anyways, we've had a shit ton of rain, but I'm not complaining after the winter we had. I'll take hot and wet any day of the week.
Hey-o.
Hey, kind don't of appropriate all. For this podcast.
But I would appreciate you sending some of that rain our way, because the grass is so dead because it's been so hot and so dry and just awful. Personally, I don't mind missing out on the rain, but because it's so hot, we need it. But hey, people tune in to the show for weather talk, and that's what you're going to get right at the top of the show. Weather talk. We are the Van Halen weather podcast. So yeah, just to brighten up your day, all those people that really hate it when we talk about the weather, it doesn't matter. It's what's happening. But Corey, I am super, super stoked, because this is a, dare I say, an action-packed episode we have on the docket. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree. We got a full house here tonight. A couple of Prairie Boys, finally some fellow Canadians to come on the show with myself from our sister province over in Manitoba. You'll know them from the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast. It's Sean and Todd McGinnity. How's it going tonight, gentlemen?
Fantastic.
Doing great.
Awesome. I got to tell you, I've been looking forward to this show for a long time, ever since kind of Sean initially reached out and said, you know, he liked the show, and then hooked us up with Eric Senich. And said, hey, you know, we've had Eric on our show. He's a great dude. You want him on the show? And he was like, yes, please. And before you know it, he was on the show and did probably one of our best shows. And actually, we were talking about this before the episode, called his shot in what he wanted to hear. He said, I want Cabo Wabo. And that's exactly what we spun. So, Sean, you might have an update on that. Were you talking to Eric just recently?
Yeah, I talked to him, I guess, fairly often. And he wanted to do another Babe Ruth today. And he wanted to call his shot today. So, when we're going to call our manifest of what songs we're going to hear, he put a special request in to call his shot for today's episode.
Well, that's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. you know he's not going to pick something that's not good, because he likes everything, first of all, and he's got impeccable taste. But while we got Sean and Todd here, let's talk really quick about your show, because I'm a big fan of your show, and it really kind of encompasses everything, everything kind of in geek culture, whether it be movies or TV or, of course, music. Whenever Eric comes on, and you recently just did a podcast with Chris L from Pot of Thunder. So, Sean, maybe kick us off and tell us a little bit about the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast.
Sure. Been around for 6+ years. We're at, I don't know, we're 20 shy of about 400 episodes, I believe. And it's just basically, I've got two young kids, and when the kids kind of happen, the playing out at various venues with my brother and bands kind of slowed right down. And it forces me to hang out with my brother at least once a week, even if it's only over Zoom, and to talk about music, which is what we do anyway, and to just kind of nerd out about the things we nerd out about.
Now, Todd,
like,
are you
a virtual kitchen party?
Oh, perfect. Todd, are you the older brother?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's why I relate probably more to you when I listen to the show.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's kind of like, like Sean was saying, it's like a kitchen party where, you get your aunts and uncles and cousins out, and usually everyone's kind of talking in the background. You just kind of sit there and you listen, and there's conversations going on. That's kind of the way I feel that we kind of do it. Like if we had someone sitting on a couch or something beside us while we were talking, that'd be kind of like our conversation. And it's nothing really specific. It's usually it's whatever's going on at the time.
And what's your favorite type of show to do? Is it music based or something else?
You know what? I'm an older dude, but I'm still young at heart. So video games has been and music, but video games has been a big part. So any new games that come out and whatnot, we usually discuss it. Sometimes we'll be lucky and we'll have a console and PC that'll kind of talk to each other, so we can actually play together.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Which not too many games are like that yet, but it'll come.
Back for blood. Let's do it. We should play and record at the same time.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Set up a Twitch channel. That's all the rage right now. Go ahead, do it.
Yeah, I hear those kids like that Twitch thing.
Yeah.
Apparently they do. I'm one of those kids that cannot figure out how to do Twitch. Yes, one of those kids.
Now, is it true about Facebook? It's for old people.
Corey, what do you say?
I think so.
Corey old? Oh, what's going on here? Come on.
I call myself old. That's fine.
I question to Corey.
You see all the gray? It's good.
That's why I shave, man. I'm probably grayer than all of you.
Sean, I've been kind of dying to know, as I've been listening to your show. Sorry, Mark, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
I know exactly what you want to do. You want to ask Todd about the guitars in the background, and we'll get to that. But first, I wanted to ask Sean, do you have like a favorite episode or maybe a favorite guest that's been on your show?
No pressure.
I love putting
people. You know what? To be honest, like we have some recurring ones that show up like consistently and over again. And those are probably my favorite. We have coming up soon, Todd, I didn't even tell you yet. I was talking to our cousin Danny, who plays in a Kiss cover band called the Love Guns. They just had a massive show in Shediac, New Brunswick. And he's flying back to Alberta. And then we're going to hook up with him and we're going to talk about that show. And a huge crowd that showed up for that. He's a recurring guest. That's, I don't know, when family's on, it's kind of fun. But probably my favorite guest we've had was our mom. She's been on twice.
Good answer.
That's a very good answer. Just in case she tunes into this show.
Yeah, mom used to be a pretty famous singer on the East Coast back in, I guess, the 60s, late 60s. So it's always kind of fun to hear her stories because she doesn't share the stories with us. But when we're on the air, we're like, what? I didn't know that one. So, you know, we get to pull some deep intel on the scene back in the day.
That's awesome. Now, as I continue to monopolize, Mark, the conversation here and don't allow you to talk, on your latest episode, the part 2 of the Chris L episode, which I encourage everybody to check out. It's a great back and forth between you guys and Chris L, and he's a fantastic interview. And you learn a lot about his time at Playboy, and you learn a lot about shit in episode 2, which I found was interesting. But one thing I really found interesting was you guys actually considered doing a Van Halen podcast.
Oh, yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then with the whole copyright thing kicked us in the face. We did a soundtrack episode, which honestly was like at the time was probably my favorite episode. We had little clips of a few songs on there. And basically it was just Todd, like when Todd goes gaga over stuff, those are usually the best episodes. And he was going gaga over his favorite soundtracks, which included Twister and some Van Halen, you know, the Van Halen one.
Right.
And we played like, I don't know, 10, 15 second clips of a whole bunch of songs. And immediately after it was, because we release Mondays, like we pre-release on Mondays at 5 a.m. And as soon as it was up, it was taken right down, like immediately pulled off everywhere. And we got some letters from a few labels saying they represent AC/DC and Guns N' Roses. And what was it? There was like five different ones, like five different cease and desists. And they pulled the episode. So I had to, because we're never late for an episode, we had to do a rush edit to redo the episode with no sound clips in it and still release it the same day. And that was like, okay, well, I guess we're not doing a Van Halen podcast then.
Yeah, it kind of leaves a sour taste in your mouth. And it's like, you know, you don't want to put all that work into it and then find out that they're going to be pulling your episodes.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time, I think. They're finally just like, well, hey, how the hell did these two dudes get through the cracks?
If Donnie Downer here, sorry about that.
Well, if they're still following us, they might.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. But look, I'm still reeling over. You named a place in Canada called Shidiac, and I was like, oh, you made that up. I had to while you guys were talking. I had to look it up, and it's like, oh yeah, it exists, and it thankfully it is not spelled the way I put it into Google.
No,
because Google's like, hey, you dumbass, did you mean this? Like, yes, I meant that. Thank you.
That's our accent. We still have a little bit of residual accent from the East Coast of the Maritimes that pops up every once in a while. Depends if I'm having one of these or not.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Oh, it's cracking in water. Yeah.
Oh, you ain't cracking. That's a bold man.
Hey, I'm still trying to get sponsorship. Hey, if you guys are listening, so, you know, if you don't want to sponsor our show, I get it. But how about End the Podcast Will Rock?
Sure. We're
big fans of Kraken like things. I have a Cthulhu tattoo right here with
there
the
we go.
Look,
there
I
we
will go. I will gladly just say, oh, it's totally the Kraken. If you give me free rum, I will do this.
Yeah,
I am not above whoring myself out. But I just wanted to say, you guys, look, if you're into soundtracks and podcasts having to do with soundtracks, look no further than my podcasting partner, Corey. He has another show called Backtracks Theme Music.
That was an intentional segue, by the way.
I mean, him and the evil John Mariano get together and they talk about songs from movies they love, shows they love, and they put it all into a playlist. I mean, Corey, you can talk about it better than I can, but that's essentially the premise.
That's pretty much it. You know, we go back and forth. John and I, when we bring a guest on, they bring their favorite song forward. The next two are actually TV theme songs. We have the X-Files this week and the Cheers song next week. And then we get back into just, you know, cuts from soundtracks. My first two were Tiny Dancer from Almost Famous, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And one I have coming up is actually a cut from Rocky IV, which I'm very much looking forward to that one dropping because I love the Rocky IV soundtrack.
Nice.
Oh, it's so good. One might argue that's all the movie is just the soundtrack. And to those people, I say, what is your point?
Exactly.
And now I feel like we can't move on into the show just yet until we address the fact that behind Todd is this little display of guitars, and not just any guitars, but they are actual Eddie Van Halen styled Franken guitars. Todd, please tell us about your display back there.
Well, as you know, I'm a big Van Halen fan. I mean, it all started with, oh my God, the very first album. And then when I saw the guitars that he had, it was like, you know what, one of these days I'd love to have a guitar like that. Could never afford, you know, when they first came out, I think they were like, what, 20 grand, something ridiculous.
Something like that. Yeah.
So I just went on Kijiji, just use, you know, Buyer's Place. And I found a Squire, I think it was a red or a black one. So I just stripped it down and just kind of created my own. Had a few tips and tricks, you know, using I think it was a Javex with my five position switch and just kind of throw it in there overnight, and it just rusts up really nice, along with the bridge and other things. So yeah, it, you know, I put kind of a pickup in it. I can't remember now. It was a custom, I think. And then also beside that, you'll see I've got a black and white, which was mm-hmm. basically the Frankenstrat before it became the Frankenstrat. So it, you can see the patterns are very similar. And it it plays great. But I like to leave it on the wall just as a reminder. And every time I kind of walk by the studio, I look at it and go, yeah. So, yeah, it was a fun project.
You said it, Dave.
Yeah, painted it up black, did the stripes, painted it white, and then striped it again, painted it red. And that was pretty much the process. I just took one of his pictures and I kind of took the tape and just kind of, you know, did the pinstriping and stuff. And it took a while, but I was able to get it done.
Looks good, man.
Yeah. It does. The effort absolutely shows. Like from here, I wouldn't have been able to tell that it was just a strict replica. I was about to ask you 1,000 questions of like, who do you know that got you that this guitar? Like, I need a name. But that's even more impressive that it's got your personal touch to it. It's basically your tribute to Eddie, as it were, and to the band. So I am into it. I salute you, and very good craftsmanship, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
He even simulated the cigarette burns
yeah.
on the headstock, which is amazing.
That's how you know he's a true fan.
Cigarette burns, the neck pickup had the red portion on the front of it, you'll see.
Broken reflectors on the back to match the broken reflector on Eddie's.
Yeah, it's pretty much almost an exact replica of the picture that you can find online of his guitar. Yeah.
Amazing.
And he can play it too, by the way. There isn't any Van Halen song I have not heard him being able to play.
Well, I figured with a nickname like Fast Fret that, you know, he was pretty good on the fretboard. So I assumed he was a pretty good guitar player.
Well, that's could be deceiving too, because, you know, when someone calls someone Little John, you know, and they're 6'5".
Like when you call a bald man curly? I got you.
Yeah, that type of thing. Slow hand, you know, really fast.
That's the third Robin Hood reference I've had today. And I'm not sure why that has happened, but okay. That's the day I'm having.
Well, grab your bucket of quarter staff. And what do you say we start talking a little Van Halen, Mark? That's a little Daffy Duck reference.
Quarter staff, but oh, yeah, this is a Van Halen podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, I understood that reference and I was ready to just quote the rest of it. But yes, we should. But before we get into the song, before we get into the, we have a spin at the wheel, Corey, we got to have a look at the polls from last week.
Yes, sir. And last week, of course, was Take Your Whiskey Home, which I thought it was going to be a slam dunk 100%. And right. It was close, but not quite.
Of course 98%. Not. Of course not.
I know. 98% what dreams are made of. 2% this dream is over.
Why?
But the first comment we're going to talk about tonight was from John Mariano, and he simply said, wasn't me. Do you believe him? I don't know if I do.
I think
I believe John on this one.
Really?
I think he was stunned.
I think this might be the one time I believe him. I think I would believe, because this sounds like a song, the way we've known Mariano for a little while now, and I feel like this song is one he definitely would jam on a regular basis. So I'm going to have to give him a little bit of props this time and go, yeah, I believe you when you say it wasn't you, but he knows who it was.
Well, he probably does.
Yep, absolutely. Our good friend Jonathan says, top five Van Halen song. Everyone shines here, but Michael Anthony's bass line is my favorite part of the track.
Amen.
Hard to argue with that, that's for sure.
No argument.
Airhead 3 says, Ed's phenomenally crisp intro on the guitar is a thing of beauty. Guessing his reluctance on this song stems from its simplistic, repetitive structure, mixed up only by modulating up each time. Great groove and killer playing make it a greater than some of its structure, though. Very good analysis, and that very well could be. Mm-hmm. I always thought maybe it was just because he had played it to death, because he played that back in the backyard party days in the, you know, Pasadena club days. He was playing that song, so I just thought maybe by the time they got to the album, he was maybe just sick of it. But it could very well be what Airhead's talking about.
Could be both. If only we were music historians.
Someone call Eric. Quick, pick up the Van Halen bat phone.
Call Eric,
I'm texting him right now. Just give me a break. I'm literally texting him right now.
Cool. While you do that, I'll read the next comment. It's from these two knobs from the Sean Geek and Fast Fred podcast.
Yeah, don't trust those guys.
It's a negative vote, really? This is a top five Van Halen tune for me. This is why I drink whiskey, for God's sake. So literally, is this, would you put this in your top five all-time Van Halen songs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I like that song.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Very good. Very groovy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah, if it's not top five, it's bordering for me. It's definitely, I think, in the top 10. Very underrated.
Yeah, that album's underrated, I think. Like, there's a few great, awesome tracks on that album.
Agreed.
Our next comment is from Jonathan, who says, when I started listening to Van Halen right around the 5150 era and discovered their back catalog, it never occurred to me that Dave Lee Roth was not viewed as a good singer. This is one example of how great his voice is, to think one band had three of the greatest voices in rock and roll. And I agree with that. And I think I talked about it on the show about how when Dave stays in his wheelhouse, he's fantastic. And I was talking to the guys before we went on the air. I have Van Halen on shuffle all the time in my truck. And the Tokyo Dome album came up, his version of Panama. And I wanted to rip my own fucking ears off so I didn't have to hear it anymore because his voice was so bad. But, you know, on Women and Children, he sounds amazing, especially on that track.
Was that not the album? I'm going to pull an Eric out of my ass here. Was that not the album where Dave was trying to get a certain sound going with the voice? And it just, and then he's like, so he stopped drinking whiskey for like a week. And then was working on having a better delivery. And it might have even been on this song. Eric can tell me I'm full of shit. But Templeman said, nah, that doesn't work, man. Go back to the whiskey. And he drank the whiskey. And I think that's when they recorded this or one of the tracks on here. He said, we need that whispery, that sounds like you just smoked a pack of Marlboro sound back. Like, we don't need clean singing from Dave.
Absolutely. Because that's Dave's
Templeman's an enabler.
He's no Sammy Hagar, as Mark likes to point out every single show.
Do you guys find that, you know, when you have the and you have some of the sound bites, but when Dave is singing without any of the effects or the music in the background, you can really tell, you know, the way his voice is. Do you find his voice is as bad as some people say it is?
I don't, personally. And, you know, listen to a clip like this.
Least I don't need to beg or borrow.
You know, to my untrained ears, I think that sounds pretty damn good. Now, Mark, you're a singer. What do you think?
I don't think his voice is as bad. I know I get really, really harsh on Dave sometimes, but that's only because I feel like most of the time he can do some very impressive work, but a lot of the time he's just stuck in Diamond Dave mode for particular Van Halen songs. So it's a lot of, you know, a lot of hoots, a lot of hollers, a lot of squeals, a lot of zip bop, zoobity bop. And it's like, you know, you don't have to do that. Just be you, man. Just let it fly. Let the voice be free. If whiskey helps, then bottoms up, I guess. But yeah, I don't think
baby. Bottoms up. Sorry.
Thank you. That was brief. Beautiful.
We should all harmonize and come in.
You guys go ahead. I'm going to sit back.
I miss the harmony. It's going to get weird real quick.
You know what? I got the whiskey out and Sean's got the crack, and so it very well might. But we have one more comment I want to throw in here. It's from our good friend Tom. He says the dynamics between the acoustic intro and the electrics kicking in are a bit off, but there's no denying that group. And that's for sure.
None whatsoever.
And that's all the comments on last week's song, Take Your Whiskey Home. Like I said, 98% versus 2. Kind of shocking.
I just want to know who are you people out there that think it? Did you just think it was meh, or do you just seriously not agree that this song was good?
And who hurt you?
Yeah, who hurt you? And maybe they're anti-whiskey. I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it.
How can the anti-whiskey?
God. Well, some people are. Well, nevertheless, if you are out there, if you were part of the, the 2% that voted that the dream was over for
The other 2%, not the other.
The other 2%. Feel free to drop us a line. Yeah, tweet at us and let us know. Be bold. Don't be afraid. We won't attack you. We just honestly want to know why.
I bet you're a very lonely person.
Ain't got nobody.
We ain't got nobody.
There we go. I want to hear more of these. These are awesome.
I had asked Corey for more of the sound clips, and that's what I got. So now I'm gonna wonder if that was a mistake.
Oh, here they come.
God damn it, baby. No, I ain't lying to you. I'm only gonna tell you one time.
That one's actually my favorite. Thank you. That's the best. But you know what else is the best and sometimes the worst? The wheel, the dreaded wheel. I think it's time to get into the song, get into the show proper, and that means spinning the wheel. Todd, Sean, you guys are our guests, so you can see in front of you the actual wheel. It exists. It's real. We have it's this real. Thing. We're the not wheel. Bullshitting the Twitterverse or anything.
The wheel is
and lately.
Real.
The wheel is real. And
Todd lately, a trailer for us.
The wheel is real.
I think
Todd does really good sexy intros and stuff.
Oh, I'm rigid, absolutely.
In a world where only one podcast bring them together. In a world. That's awesome.
Oh man, but before we spin it, I gotta ask, because I do it all the time. I will put it to you all. Is there a particular song, or perhaps an album, an era, if you will, that you want to manifest for today's show? You guys are our guests, Todd and Sean, so please feel free to let us know what song or album or something that you want to manifest for the wheel to bring us tonight.
We'll let Todd go first. I now I'm vacillating. I've got two different ones in my head now.
Unchained.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that your favorite song of all time, Todd? Your favorite Van Halen song of all time?
You know what? I see it on the wheel, and I was thinking of the actual video that I had seen on MTV or Much Music, depending on who's listening. but yeah, it was a great tune. And I remember tuning down, you know, to try and play that song. And my God, when you tuned down, it was like, gave that nice thud. Bottom end thud. And this was before all this gent stuff and this new music that's out where everybody tunes down. And it was a really good tune. Really like it.
Absolutely. We play on 9-string guitars and we tune down to G flat.
The floor just shakes.
You gotta do Todd. Okay, I'm gonna call this right now. Our next episode, Todd is gonna do a movie introduction to your show. We're going to put it on our show and do a movie introduction of the podcast Little Rock with that voice.
You know what? I would say it may replace the Michael Anthony intro we currently have. It'd be hard to justify that, but we'll incorporate it if he does. Absolutely.
It'll be worth it. It'll totally be worth it.
The podcast will rock with desire.
Oh, it just came. That's amazing. See,
there it is.
There it is. We got to get that. Fucking shirt made, that desire shirt. Picture of Todd's face.
That's the one we don't hire
underneath.
Desire.
Todd oozes sexuality. I know no one can see him, but we got him on the Zoom call. If I wasn't questioning my sexuality before, I am now. Big, bald, beautiful bastard.
I think, you know, we were on someone else's show and we did sexy Trump tweets. And Todd had to read Trump tweets in a sexy awesome. Voice. It's fucking awesome.
You know what? If we can get you guys back, we'll have Todd do sexy David Lee Roth tweets.
Oh, there's so many great
David Lee Roth. I'll pull quotes from his autobiography. We'll have Todd read them in a second.
Oh, we got to do the Peter Chris, Peter Chris thing, but do it with David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth, yeah.
Pick a page, yeah.
Yep. It's got to happen. You guys got to come back now.
We'll put it in the books. But yeah. Sean, what do you want to manifest tonight?
Years and years and years ago, Todd and I did a film together. It was like a student film, and we actually threw a Van Halen song into the soundtrack. It was into the whatever, it was part of the score of the film, and we actually used Somebody Get Me a Doctor. And that's I kind of want to hear it now, because with all the wife had COVID a few weeks ago, And, you know, we've all been sick with colds and stuff. And it's like, somebody get me a doctor.
I love that pick because, like, a couple of weeks ago, I had COVID, and that's the one I wanted. Yeah. I'm going to get me a doctor. And now my daughter has had a cough for 3 weeks. We might hear her coughing in the background. So that would be a great pick. I'd be all in for that one.
And there you go. And by proxy, I believe you brought another manifestation from our friend Eric. Yes.
Yeah. He's been tweeting the whole freaking time. Hey, what's the song this week? I can't wait till Friday. So I don't know. Am I going to spoil it for him? I'm going to tell him. I don't know. But he really wants to hear Humans Being. What, one of the best lyrical accomplishments of Sammy Hagar ever.
He stole my song. That's what I was going to pick.
Because, well, now it's not going to manifest, Corey.
I'll pick something else then. But yeah, when you're talking about Twister and Todd, I'm like, fuck yeah, Twister, Humans Being, let's do it.
Yeah, man.
Well, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to make a stunning revelation. This whole time we've been doing the show, I've had a song that I want to manifest on this show every single time. And I never say which one it is. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I'm going to reveal what it is.
No, you're not.
Oh,
yes, I am. I'm going to reveal it.
I'm putting my seatbelt on.
It's a first.
To the shock of no one at all, it is, in fact, Humans Being. It must be.
Real?
It's Humans Being.
No way. Three Humans Being. Corey, you can't change your vote now.
Okay.
You can't. So now we kind of have to. I would not be mad if we spun Unchained. That would be hilarious and awesome. So, but yes, I am going to put as much, I'm putting half of my energy into Humans Being, but then half into another song, only because if we land on it, we'll have another special guest. So,
and it's up for breakfast, isn't it?
Oh, please, no.
just for you, it's up for breakfast. Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Corey. We now have our manifestations, and we're going to channel it. We're going to try real, real hard to get what we want. Let's see if the wheel hears us and feels it and wants to grant us a merciful, exciting show.
Okay, we're going to go to Sean, and I'm going to get you to pick a number between 1 and 5. That's how many times I'm going to shuffle the wheel. So go ahead and pick a number.
Let's go 5.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Are we ready?
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it.
It's all up to you, Sammy. Let us.
Here we go!
And it's going to be nowhere near Humans Being. It's In a Simple Rhyme from Women and Children First. So couldn't be farther apart, I think.
Well, swing and a miss there. What do you do?
Our second consecutive song from Women and Children First. So that's kind of interesting.
My God. You know what? I'm not good with names, so I can't remember what the song is.
That's okay, Bill.
Me either. I'm kind of...
You know, it was the last cut off Women and Children. So if you kind of bail after Take Your Whiskey Home, you may not know this one as well.
Oh, I know it.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about it. What's your recollection of
the melodies in the song are wicked. It's just one of those songs where it's got some wicked bass in it, and it's a rocker. It's actually probably a top five song off that album.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Mark, do you recollect this one right off the hop?
I don't. That's I'm kind of with Todd on this. The track name is sort of throwing me off. I'm like, well, do I know this one? Like, how I'm trying to find the melody in my head and whatever before we get into the song itself. But I don't know. I'm really not sure. I can tell you that this album itself is not one that I've had like on constant rotation. So, you know, I pick and choose the tracks. So there's a good chance this one slipped me by.
Oh, you'll remember when you hear it.
Yes,
me. You're going to go, oh, God. And then you're going to go, oh, God, a second time. And then, well, you know.
And then, yes.
This one I know was part of the Warner Brothers demo, if I'm not mistaken. Way back, and they even played it, I think, in the Backyard Party days. So one of their older tracks that made its way into Women and Children First.
Indeed.
Now, is it the same or is it different? Because some of the very first ones that they did before they recorded, if you can get a hold of some of those songs when you listen to it, some of them have evolved over the years. Mm-hmm. So is this one the same As what's on the album, do you recall?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I imagine it evolved, like you said, but I'm not exactly sure. I know originally Eddie had kind of a more acoustic intro to the song, but they changed it because they thought they might have been trying to like replicate Led Zeppelin.
Mm.
Huh.
Eric gives a thumbs up, by the way.
On In a Simple Rhyme?
Oh, yeah. He loves this song. Yeah.
Well, that tracks, yeah.
And literally everything I said is everything he just told me. Tell him about Eddie and Mike's harmonies.
Damn.
What's Eric doing? Does he want to jump in on the call for
time? I'm half tempted to ask him.
What do you Whatever. Say? For the guys who don't quite recollect this one, should we just start playing it?
I think we should.
Yeah.
All right. This is In a Simple Rhyme from 1980s, Women and Children First. All right, Sean's a drummer.
Oh, my God. Come on. Listen to that.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Come on. I already have my vote in. I can walk away now.
Yeah, it's done. Yeah.
I didn't even know Eddie had a 12 string.
Yeah, I guess he played a 12 string Rickenbacker on this.
Oh, okay.
Is that what he's playing, the Rickenbacker?
Yeah.
Mm.
I never knew he even played a Rickenbacker. This is just what Google is telling me.
Perhaps only in the studio, you know, when you can just play around with all sorts of things just to get your sound right for recording.
Mm-hmm. That's when I was treated so coldly. My love life was a time disgrace. Needed someone to love and hold me. That's one of the reasons that I was out of place.
Good place to stop it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I really like Dave's lyrics in general. There's a meter that he uses, you know, when he's doing all the scabbing and that sort of stuff. He's got a meter to how he does his stuff, the words he picks, and a lot of it is just off the cuff. Like even when he was replacing Howard Stern on the radio show, he just go off on a riff about some general idea. There'd be a cadence to just even how he was talking. There's a cadence here. There's a swagger. There's a groove. I mean, never mind the instrumentation going on here, which is phenomenal, but I don't know, Mark, the anti-Roth guy. What do you think of what's going on here?
Oh, great. You're stirring the pot over there.
That's my job.
And it's funny enough that you throw it to me, because I was going to say I shit a lot on Dave's lyrics per se, not all of them, but a lot of them that are nonsense. Some of which happen to be some of their biggest hits, but we'll get to that. But this, on the other hand, is very good lyrics. These are really great lyrics, and I agree with you about the cadence of his vocal phrasing, what he's doing in terms of blending together with what's happening in the instrumentation is working. It's different, though. It's not kind of your usual David Lee Roth flavor, and yet it kind of he's still throwing a little bit of his Rothisms, just to let you know that he's still there. Like the line when he said, "My love was a darn disgrace. My love was a darn disgrace."
Yeah,
it's like remember, I'm still David Lee Roth. You're like, yes, we know. We got you. But I like the story that he's telling in the lyrics, so I'm not shitting on this whatsoever.
Attaboy, you're coming around. I like it.
It's coming around.
I was lost, and now I'm found. The Roth game.
You think you got the interest? Come on and take the time. Could you know I want to be yours in a simple rhyme?
I'm sitting here thinking Michael Anthony fans got to be loving this song, because he is. Oh,
yeah. Michael Anthony said, "You're going to hear me, motherfucker. I got you. No, I'm doing kidding. This. I am attacking this bass and you're going to hear it."
Now, does Mike play with a pick?
That's a good question,
because here it does sound like he is using a pick just by the sound of the attack when he's on the strings.
Like there's a lot of like.
Yeah,
I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
He might be really good at galloping with just the fingers, but I hear what you're saying, and I think maybe possibly at least on in studio, yeah.
Unless he's plucking them. He could be plucking them too.
Yeah. He could be, yeah. I'm willing to bet he probably alternates, like gives it some picking for a little bit, and then switches back to his just regular gallop fingers, and maybe a hybrid of the two.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in concert, from what I've seen, he's mostly fingers, isn't he? I don't see him using a pick all that much.
I think you're right.
I always thought so. So it wouldn't shock me if this is, in fact, like, nope, no picking, just fingers.
Like, do you think okay, when he well, plays, like, I think when he plays, I think he's like, even though he's using his fingers, he's kind of slapping those fingers. I know he's not like using his thumb or anything, but I think he's just really aggressive when he's hitting those notes. He's not just strumming the notes or like, he's actually smacking those notes.
Yeah, I think
he's definitely attacking the notes there.
Yeah, live. Was it Live Without a Net? When I was watching the video, it almost looked like he was kind of almost pulling the bass strings when he was playing. So yeah, he's got a really heavy attack on there. So yeah, and the harmonies in there, my God. And Michael Anthony is just a monster when it comes to harmonies. You can hear him in the background. He's this, this big short guy, but the notes that he can hit, my God, it just makes you the hair on your arm stand up.
Now, according to Setlist FM, going all the way back to 1974, was only played like 10 times. But then in 2015, when Wolfie was playing bass, he played 34 times. So,
Oh boy, you kidding me? I'm sure Wolfie was obviously a fan of the song. How could he not be?
Exactly. Yeah.
I think he had a better pulse on what was great Van Halen more than anybody in the band did.
Yeah, no, I would 100% agree with that, because he had a lot of input into those two tours with Dave.
Yep.
When he joined the band. So the fact they played this more in 2015 than any other time, I think speaks volumes.
Hey, can we just pause for a sec here? But did you guys actually see the final tours or no?
I never did. No,
I did not.
They were supposed to play Regina. They canceled an entire leg of the tour. I had a friend who worked for radio in Regina and said, "Van Halen's coming. This is the date. Get ready." And then they canceled it before they ever announced it.
So did they do like Calgary and then they did like Winnipeg?
Yeah, they never did come to Saskatchewan, which a lot of bands don't. So
that sucks, man. That's not fair.
Yeah.
You missed a really good Cool in the Gang show.
I bet. That sounded like it'd be amazing. Absolutely.
I'm gonna go on record right now. Todd, you tell us
what Cool in the Gang? Actually, you know what? When I heard about it, it was like, well, it's kind of like you got like two different genres all together. That'd be like having, you know, Garth Brooks and then Celine Dion or so. Like it just it's a different thing altogether, but you know, it worked. Like
that probably happened in Nashville at some point.
Yeah, but they were excellent too. I mean, everybody was grooving, getting ready for Van Halen to come on, and kudos, they did an excellent job. I never heard them live before, but they put on a great show.
It'd be like if Zamfir and the Pan Flute opened for Metallica,
or the Painter opening for Kiss. Hey, I'm going to quote what Todd said after the show, because we both went to that show together. You said something along the lines of Cool in the Gang blew away Van Halen.
Oh, really?
Well,
Todd,
You know what? I don't want to rag on Van Halen. but more so, I think, I mean, Dave, as he got older, I don't know, just the lyrics and singing and half the words seem to be missing. And when he first got on there and he had the shuffleboard floor that they had put in that click flooring. Mm-hmm. And then they put that way you play those, that game
like
where
baby powder.
Slide. Yeah. Baby powder or something there. So he could do his little shuffle thing. I was scared that he was going to do like when he did his leg lifts, like when he puts his leg up, I was like, oh my God, I hope he has a good, you know, he's standing very strong on where he is, because if he goes off in an angle, one or the other, he's going to slip on that talcum powder and take a header. But
did he
do literally took it? They took 45 minutes to set up the dance floor for Dave in front of the drum riser.
And he just shuffled. He was shuffling around and just like he was on ice. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Good show. Eddie and Alex sounded great.
Yeah. It was a good show regardless.
Well, that's one thing. If you listen to the Tokyo Dome album, the band is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the vocals leave something to be desired. And like I listened to Panama today from that album, and it's just it's painful.
When I was young and I was far too crazy, been that way for a long, long time. Needed a girl, but I was just too lazy. Now that I found you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the band Boston.
Well, with the 12 string, I thought of that Boston. It was like, it's kind of like that Boston-esque type of groove.
Even vocally. Kind of that pullback. Yeah, vocally, and that like that pullback of the music. Like, it's really hard rock, and then we just kind of pull it back a little bit, you know, whatever, to give you this, like, it gives me a Boston feel. That's not a bad thing, because Boston's a great band, but not what you would expect from a Van Halen tune usually, but you know, what do I know?
Bells ringing, I think I heard an angel sigh. She said,
somewhere I think Eric said,
damn, those are
very
tight.
Happy.
Yeah.
It sounds this mental image of Eric just smiling.
Yeah. He was pretty excited.
How do you not smile at that, man? Those harmonies were so tight. Oh, so good.
Yeah, that's something. That's why I like the song so much. It's just one of those, like, we're not just a hard rock party band. Like, there's way more going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is an early song, like way back to the Backyard Party days. They were doing this song. So that's really interesting.
Now, is this is the last song of the album?
Yeah. Yes.
Just kind of like Happy Trails was the the last. They seem to end with the same type of mellow groove, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good observation. So I think every album pretty much ended with that in the Diamond Dave era. You could hear the bass during the guitar solo.
Yeah. So good.
I told you, so Michael would not be denied this song. It's like, no, you're going to hear me.
It's unreal. And this week in Van Halen news, there was an article in Rolling Stone. A journalist actually kind of found a database of email addresses, and he emailed a bunch of guys like Gene Simmons and stuff, a bunch of joke emails. And he sent one to what he thought was Eddie Van Halen and said, "Hey, how's Michael Anthony doing?" And he got a reply. And he said, you know, not as good as Wolfgang. And they started a conversation throughout the years. But, you know, he didn't say a lot of nice things about Michael. But fuck, he's killing it on this track, isn't he?
Yeah. He's underrated, man. Like, he generally serves the song. He's not going to be showy. But I mean, in a section like that, he's basically carrying the song. He's playing the guitar part kind of on bass, I feel here. He's, mm-hmm. you know, just reminding everybody this is what the song is.
And way up front in the mix, which is really surprising. I'll throw to Mark and Todd now as the guitar experts on the panel here. Your thoughts on Eddie and his little guitar. I even reluctantly call it a solo. It wasn't really much of a solo.
No, and I hate to say this, but I feel like Eddie's solo was overshadowed by everything Michael is doing. never thought that would ever happen. Yeah, but I was like, I guess I just never noticed that. I have heard this song before, but it's not one, like I said, it's not one in my usual rotation. So it's easy to overlook what's happening in this track until we break it down like we're doing. And yeah, Michael's on a mission, it seems like, and whatever that mission is, he's succeeding.
Yeah, being that there's only three instruments, I mean, Michael has to really, you know, bring up his game to fill in the whole back end of the mix. So he does an excellent job in that, definitely. Mm-hmm. With his vocals and the bass. So he's got the high register and he's got his low register. And then you get everybody else in the middle. So,
yeah. And how many times have we heard it's usually Alex filling that role of kind of the backbone behind Eddie's solo, right? And here it's more Michael Anthony. That's a great point. There's a little bit more. They actually put a little instrumental piece at the end entitled Growth.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called Growth.
I know what it is. I just didn't know what it's called.
Yeah, let's check that out here. there you have it. That's in a simple rhyme and growth from growth. Women and children first. It's 15 seconds long.
Was it necessary? You be the judge. But that's the track.
That's like the end of the Def Leppard album, Pyromania. I think, was that the... It's this weird groove just out of nowhere.
Great. I don't know. It's kind of cool. It's like, we're not done. I don't know.
Apparently, that was a staple of the band's live shows with Roth. And I'd often started the encores way back when. So that's kind of cool.
Well, they would start the encore with that?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm sure Eric can tell me if I'm full of shit or not, but I seem to remember. Yeah.
We have to be fact checked by Eric at all times now.
At all times,
you know. If not, then we hear all about it on social media.
Maybe we just replace me with Eric Senich. I'm cool with that. I'll just hit the button and play the song, and Eric can talk about the music because he knows much more than I do.
Ericopedia or something, I think it's called. Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So it wasn't the song we all wanted, but damn if I didn't enjoy it. What do you guys think?
Well, that's going to be the question. So without further ado, we've just took in the song. There it is in a simple rhyme. Todd, Sean, you are our guest, so we will go to you first. I guess we'll do it individually. So Todd, starting with you, with your guitar tribute behind you on the display, in all of this Van Halen glory, was In a Simple Rhyme what dreams are made of, or was the dream over for you?
I gotta say the dream was over for that one. That wasn't your typical 80s song.
You're kicked right off the show. You're kicked off the show.
Wow, that's surprising.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a decent tune, but it's not. When I think of Eddie, that's not the tune I think of. Mm. But that's me.
Well, that is a fair assessment, and that is well, we got one for the dream is over. So there's the 2% grows, perhaps. or not, you know, who knows? There might be more people agree with you on this one. But will it be Sean? Sean, was In a Simple Rhyme the dream over for you, or is this what dreams are made of?
Oh, the dreams are made of. I don't need a killer Eddie solo. There is got all the other elements of Van Halen that I really like. I really like what Alex is doing. I mean, how the whole thing starts off and Michael Anthony, and this is pure Roth. Maybe this is more like this would fit more on like a Roth solo album or something. Maybe, I don't know, but I don't know. I love everything about this song.
Well, there you go. All right. So we got one and one. Corey, for you, was In a Simple Rhyme the dream, or are you waking up from a nightmare?
You know, I started this episode thinking I related to Todd, but now I don't. I just think he's a dumbass because I love this song. I'm kidding, of course, but I'm with Sean. I loved everything about this. I love that Mike was up front in the mix with the bass. I love the mix of this song. We've heard so many bad mixed Van Halen tracks lately, Mark, that it's refreshing to get. We have back-to-back Women and Children First. This is such a great album and great produced by Ted Templeman. I love that, you know, David shot on this and Alex had some great moments. And yeah, it wasn't the best Eddie track of all time. But everybody else kind of had their time to shine. So absolutely, for me, this is what dreams are made of.
All right.
Do we need ominous music playing here for the final vote?
The final vote, yes. No pressure. So for me, was the dream over, or is this what dreams are made of? And it might interest you to know this.
Well, because I feel terrible now.
Well, no, it's because I agreed and understood everything you said, Todd, and I was with you. But the thing is, sometimes we listen to a track and even just a tiny bit of it, tiny bit of whatever's happening in the song can save an otherwise drab tune. We have had songs where I thought, oh yeah, nope, never listen to this Van Halen song ever again. This is an easy vote. And then Eddie comes in with this rip roaring solo. And I'm like, well, if not for that solo, then that would have been gone. But the solo saved the song, or something happened to make me change my mind. And you know who saved the song for me? Michael Anthony. He is exactly what Corey said. The mixing is good. The mixing, especially with him up front. I still say in my head canon, when they were recording this, I don't think Michael would be denied his moment in the sun for this track. I don't know why this track specifically, but why not? We're there. And he definitely shines. And it's no disrespect to Dave. Actually, I think this is one of the better lyrics I've heard out of Dave so far. And I know everyone's going to come for me for that, and that's fine. I'll accept it. But lyrically, this is really good. Vocally, he's very good. It's not the greatest Dave vocals, but it's still good, and it works for the song. The solo that Eddie performed, there's never a bad solo. Even his lukewarm solos are still pretty damn good. This one was good. However, as I said, it was overshadowed by Michael Anthony laying down the groove, taking the bass for a walk, as it were. I don't know if he's doing it with a pick, if he's just simply galloping with his fingers. Either way, it works. It saved the song for me. Otherwise, it would have been just kind of a, yeah, okay, I don't need to listen to that again. But now I feel rejuvenated. And this, for me, is a rockin' tune. And yes, the dream. This is what dreams are made of.
Now, I'm going to go on a limb, and I'm going to say that Eric Senich right now is saying,
oh, yes.
Oh, yes, he did.
Hopefully, just like that.
Oh, yes. I think that's what he did.
Thanks.
Eric, call in with your best David Lee Roth impression. We demand it, and we totally won't record it at all. Wink.
I'm just wondering if Todd's gonna like Austin Powers, like do we got Mariano underneath that mask?
I was wondering that myself, actually.
That would be an impressive trick. Just John just pulls off the mask right away. He's like, it was me. It was me the whole time. God damn it, John.
Yeah, the song, I mean, the song is good, but it's not one of those songs that I would put I'm going to put Women and Children first. I'm going to put this song on. Like you guys said, I mean, I agree totally with you guys, with Michael Anthony and the songwriting, everything was good. It's just the groove was, I don't know. It's just a little too mellow, I guess, for me.
You know, this is an album with a lot of highlights. So yeah, I can totally see your point too, Todd. Even if I don't necessarily agree with it, but on Women and Children, you'd probably rank this, the bottom third, right?
For the whole rock on the album.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
I guess we're gonna have to do this.
Todd is not a Van Halen hater. Let's not.
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah, we have to set that straight. Yeah.
No, I love Van Halen. I had tapes back in the day when I would play them and play them and play them to the point where they would stretch and they would squeal. Anybody who's had who's older, who know what a cassette is, and have played them, once you've played them 1,800 times, after a while they start to squeal. Mm-hmm. And they slow down and they lose their, the definition. So, I mean, I've gone through, I don't know how many cassettes, and then thank God when CDs came out, I mean, you could play them endlessly and you wouldn't lose any audio on it at all. So, but yeah.
Mark can't relate, but I'm right there with you with the cassettes. Cause I remember taking my copy of Women and Children out of the tape deck of my car and having to take the pencil and trying to wind it back because the tape deck tried to eat it. So.
Pretty sure I mentioned cassettes last week.
I still don't believe you know what a cassette is, Mark. You're a young.
Wow. All right.
You and Sean are the two youngins on the panel here.
What are you talking about, dude?
We're the youngins.
51 years old, man.
51? I don't believe it. You don't look a day over 31.
Okay, I'll take that.
There you go. But yes, this is I'll be the baby of this group. It's fine. I'm down with the kids. That's what they're saying, right? They're saying down. Is that
down? Why not? Or is it up? Up with the kids? No, I'm up with the kids because they won't go to bed. That's what it is.
There you go. See, I got a 14-year-old.
I don't have that problem.
I'm swaggy. So swaggy is the new term.
Swaggy.
Swaggy. Yeah. He's swaggy and he's got you got the swag because you know, we got merch, and you guys, that's not a great segue, but I'm here to tell you you should support us, you should keep us going if you like what you're hearing. Yeah. We have merch. Go to podcastwillrock.com, find our merch little area, our T Public store, get some stickers, get some shirts. When it gets colder, we got your hoodies, and if you're still masked up, we can get our logo on a mask. It's good stuff, and you're being safe, and that's what we're all about. We're all about having fun, but doing it safely. But, you know, safely within reason, because, you know, if you're going to party like Van Halen, you got to get a little crazy, but don't get too crazy, because, you know, you're not rock stars. We're not rock stars. They're rock stars. They can get away with that.
Ron and Todd are rock.
Yeah, of course. Our guests are definitely rock stars on the show, and just in life in general, and on their own shows. You guys, that is our episode. Sean, Todd, thank you so much for being on the show. Before we go, though, please tell the people where they can find you, your socials, your show. Tell us more about that, and what's going on in your worlds.
Todd, sexy social time.
Sexy social time. you can visit us at seangeek.ca. That's S-E-A-N. Sean McGinnity. I mixed it up.
He got turned on by himself, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Sean's going to kick out the show now. You're flushed.
I'm about as red as my shirt. Look.
No, I think you kick Todd off and you bring me on. And it could be Sean Geek and Dipshit.
There you go. So it's at seanmcginnity.ca. So it's seanmcginnity.ca.
Just because. And it's at Sean Geek Podcast for all the socials, even Reddit, and we're even on freaking LinkedIn. Why not?
Just because. Yeah.
Sure. The suit and ties are like, what are you talking about this week?
Well, I'm a fan. I can attest. Everybody should go out and follow the Sean Geek Podcast, because these guys do a fantastic job. And no matter what you're into, they do a podcast on it. Like whether it's music or geek stuff. Like I said, I tune in all the time whenever you're talking about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness or Spider-Man, because I'm kind of a big movie fan and the Marvel fan. So I really dig those podcasts. But there's a little something for everybody, which is what I really love about your show. You even did one on podcasting. And kind of the ins and outs of podcasting and the different pitfalls you kind of fall into. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. I also want to give a shout out to Corey Taves, who's on our show like all the freaking time. And Karen Brazula, who's on our show all the time. Usually when we're going like heavy geek Marvel movies and Star Wars and stuff, we'll bring Karen in, because that's not Todd's cup of tea. And we bring Corey along because we've all bled with Corey, and Corey has his own show called Geek Spin, which is fantastic. He covers nerd music, which is really, really good. It's introduced me to a lot of great bands. But we have the episode next week is going to be I don't know, this will probably be released much later, but we're doing one all on Star Wars this coming Monday, Karen and I did. And then we have Eric coming back. Eric's been clamoring to tackle another Van Halen album. And then we also have Danny coming up, and he's going to talk about his Kiss cover band that he has, which is freaking phenomenal. I got to send you guys links to some of the videos of their shows. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Too much talent. Huge. Too much talent in their family. I wish they shared it more with me anyway. Yeah, and that's our stuff.
All right. Corey, where can the good people find you in the show?
Oh, they can find me in too many places. There's way too much Corey out there. We need to cut back some, but you can find me on Twitter at CD Morset. And I do two more shows with the previously mentioned evil John Mariano. Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. We're breaking down the entire Aerosmith catalog. As of this week, what we're doing is we're taking the top 18 Aerosmith tracks and creating the ultimate Aerosmith playlist. So Todd can relate to this. When you had cassettes, when you got like that super extended play cassette where you could fit like 18 songs on it. That's what we're doing. We're trying to come up with the ultimate Aerosmith mixtape.
That was an SLP.
Yes, exactly. So as of this week, we put our 18th track on it. So now whenever we bring up a song, we have to replace it. If we want to put it on the mixtape, we have to take something off. So now is when things are going to get interesting. So I have that show. I also have Backtrack Steam Music, where we're talking about movie soundtracks, TV soundtracks, all that kind of stuff. I brought up songs from Almost Famous, The Commitments. John brought up Johnny Dangerously. And you know, we got a bunch of cool stuff coming up on that one. Hopefully I can talk my brothers from Manitoba into coming on that show as well and talking about their favorite soundtrack songs. But that's where you can find me on there. And Mark, where can the fine folks find you?
Oh, they can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram if you want to. What you should be doing is tuning into the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, where not just us, but all the great shows concerning music, rock music, any band you can possibly think of, we got a show for it. So be sure to tune into that. Check out all of the shows, including Corey's two that he's got going on, because those are lots of fun. I can't wait to come back to Aerosmith Revisited and to be a guest on Backtrack's Theme Music. That's going to be a very fun time. Once again, thank you to Sean and Todd for being on. And one thing we forgot to mention, big congratulations to Wolfie Van Halen himself on his recent engagement at the time of this recording. Good on you, sir. Good on you. Congrats and good luck.
Absolutely.
So that's good stuff. All relevant in the Van Halen world, Van Halen news. Shout out to Eric at the Van Halen news desk for just for being you. And we'll look forward to your Diamond Dave impression in the very near future. But until that time happens,
wasn't even a sound drop. That was Sean.
That was just really Sean. Good. So now we're gonna get a harmony with Sean and Eric, just going back, just a duel, a back and forth impersonation of David Lee Roth, because that's what you tune into the Van Halen show for. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.